Hi everyone, welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, the website and the podcast. Today I want to start with a story about when I was getting married over 20 years ago and somebody I know said to me, "Oh, you know, are you going to get a prenup?" And I was like, "No, why would I? I'm in love with this guy. We're going to spend the rest of our lives together. There's no need for a prenup." And he was like, "Okay, well, that's good, because if you're thinking about getting one, then you shouldn't even be marrying the person." So I thought that was really interesting looking back, because obviously I ended up getting divorced 7 years later. I didn't have a prenup. I wish obviously that I would have. It probably would have made things a lot easier. But it got me thinking. And so if there are people on here listening who are considering a prenup for a second or a third marriage, or people who are getting divorced who don't have a prenup and you want to know, you know, what's going to happen, we're going to talk about that too. And we're also going to talk about what's called a post-nuptial agreement. So there is no one better, in my opinion, to talk about this with than Amanda Clayman. She's my guest today. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Jackie.
So Amanda is a senior partner with the divorce firm of Katz and Stefani, and she does so many prenups and postnups. So I thought she was the perfect person to talk about, should you get one, and tips if you do. So welcome, Amanda.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And tell our listeners, because I don't even know this, how long you've been practicing law.
I've been practicing divorce law for about 20 years.
Okay. So you're not a newbie. You know what you're doing.
Yes.
And you're a graduate of Northwestern Law School.
Yes, I am.
Okay. So I think you're pretty qualified to talk about this.
Thank you. Thank
you. If you had to guess, how many prenups do you think in your career you have drawn up for people?
Hundreds for sure.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you've met the criteria.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So I want to start off by asking you, who should get a prenup and who doesn't really need one? Like, I know it's every marriage is different, every case is unique, but in your opinion, what would you recommend? What kinds of people and marriages should get a prenup?
Okay, so there are certain marriages that I would certainly suggest at least talk to a lawyer and understand the pros and cons of a prenuptial agreement. In Illinois, we call them premarital agreements, but it's really interchangeable. But for sure, somebody who's entering into a second or third marriage, they should absolutely consider a premarital agreement, especially if you have children from a prior marriage that, you know, you want to protect your assets for, or you just want to protect them in general financially. Many of those people are scarred by their first experience. And so in some ways, emotionally, perhaps it's really nice just to have some clarity moving into their next marriage. But really financially, typically people in second and third marriages are bringing assets into the marriage so that it makes sense to protect them. And then also they may have assets that they want to preserve for their children that without an agreement could be at risk. So I really think about it as thinking about taking care of your kids. I mean, that's most parents' number one priority, and just making sure you understand what could be at risk if you didn't have a premarital agreement and to consider it.
Also, that doesn't diminish your love for the person or anything. It doesn't mean that you don't love them just as much as if you weren't getting a prenup, but the reality is it's your second marriage.
That's right. And I don't think there's any shame in having some clarity about what expectations are about finances during the marriage and in the event of a divorce.
Right.
And I think there are some people find the process horrible. There's no doubt about that. But I think there's many people that would say they learned about the law, they were educated, and then they could, you know, protect themselves during the marriage and have open and honest conversations. And those can actually be benefits.
And I love that, because then you're really you have all this legal stuff out of the way. So you know what's going to happen if you get divorced. So there's no pressure to stay married for the wrong reason, which
That's
is
right.
because I'm afraid of the unknown. Because what you're doing by getting a prenup is giving them the known.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to other people who you think should get prenups.
I think people who are involved in family businesses, who work for a family business, have inherited a family business, something like that. Some of the law around those issues can be a little bit complicated, and I think it is worthwhile to talk to a lawyer to understand the law and make sure your business is protected and that asset is protected. I think that's also important if you have siblings in the business or you want the business to go to children, just so you understand what the law is and you and your future spouse can understand expectations and just have some clarity. So that's another group of people that I think it makes sense for.
Okay. And then who else?
I guess I would say the next two are kind of large categories. There's often many people that I work with who just have substantial wealth that they're bringing to the marriage, and they want to protect it. It is protected to a pretty high degree by Illinois law itself, but some people just want some clarity around that and some protection around that, and I think that makes good sense for everybody to understand. And then there are some people who just are very open about finances, have lots of conversations, have ideas that are kind of different from Illinois law, and they want to put that in writing and they want an agreement.
And that's what we were talking about.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
People, it could actually strengthen a relationship,
that's right.
Minimize pressure and stress. I mean, Amanda, I don't know if you know this, but I've been with the same person for several years. We already talked about it. If we ever decide to get married, we already said we're so in love. We see each other. We see staying with each other forever, but we're going to get prenups if we do it because it takes all of the stress out of the picture.
Right.
And then you
Absolutely.
Know what you're getting and you can make the decision based on your true reasoning for wanting a divorce or not.
Yep, that's right. And I think lots of people who've been through a divorce kind of understand that, and perhaps it's less emotional than people who haven't been and don't understand why you would want to be talking with lawyers before you get married. So
right.
I would say that's not uncommon in second marriages and makes good sense.
Right. Okay, moving on. Now, once you decide that a prenup feels like the right thing to do, how do you tell your soon-to-be spouse that you think you should get a prenup?
Tell them early. I always, and it's not because an agreement signed close to the marriage date is necessarily invalid or anything like that. That is not true. But I find that the emotion is greatly reduced if it's not being negotiated too close to the wedding. If you can get it out of the way, emotions tend to be a little bit lower than if you start to get close to the wedding date. So I really encourage people to start talking about it early, not to bury their head in the sand and to really try to, propose it. So there's enough time for people to process it, think about it, talk about it, work through the emotions. Because if you wait, all that stuff is part of the negotiation, all that emotion, and that's not to everyone's benefit. So I think the first thing is to tell them early. I also think, and you can talk to your lawyer about, how exactly do I present this? But I think it's conversations about what you and I are saying, which is, let's be fair with each other. Let's have a conversation. Let's make sure we're on the same page. Let's make sure we understand and talk about it. I think a lot of people go into marriages not talking about finances. I'm not sure why. I think it's like maybe considered unromantic or something, but I think you're selling yourself short. If you really plan on having a lifetime partner, that's part of the partnership is money. So,
well, what's so funny is that you said like it might be not romantic. I think it's very awkward to some people to talk about money. And isn't that so ironic? Like you're marrying someone, you're probably sharing your deepest secrets of your life in every other aspect. But then when it comes to money, like everyone's too afraid to talk about it.
For sure. And I get that. And for some people, it just is awkward and there very well may not be, some of those beginning conversations might be uncomfortable, but they're going to happen at some point. People start sharing joint accounts and start talking about what they're going to buy when they're married. So, you know, you're really just having a conversation a few months before you would otherwise have it. So you might as well go for it.
And also, once you get it out of the way and everyone is on the same page and knows everything, your relationship, in my opinion, can only get better. It just gets better. There's more trust.
Or if it doesn't, then you kind of know. Mm-hmm. Like, if this is a person I can't have a conversation with or who has really unfair ideas, then that's maybe an answer.
Right. It might make somebody call off an engagement.
Maybe, mm-hmm. unfortunately, but maybe.
And that's better than going through another divorce.
Right.
Let's talk about couples who decide to proceed with a prenup. What are your tips to make the process as smooth and easy as possible? So here's what I'm going to do, Amanda. You wrote this in an article on Divorce Girl Smiling. I'm going to read the tip and then you explain it. How about that?
Okay. And okay. I'll start with the first tip, which we just talked about, which is start earlier than you might think you need to.
Okay, great. Okay, yep. Next tip is have a real heart-to-heart with your partner to decide what things are most important to each of you, what you really want in the event that the marriage doesn't work out.
Yeah, and I think this is a little bit what we were talking about, which is I think a conversation before you hand someone a document is really helpful. And I think having some clarity on everyone's understanding, again, before you just hand them a piece of paper, can really help tailor the document to meet everyone's needs and make people feel a little bit more comfortable before they get it.
Okay, next tip is know your assets, gather all financial statements, and be prepared to list and identify all of them.
Yep, so a key under Illinois law would be to be sure that you accurately disclose your assets. And that will ensure the validity of your agreement. So the sooner you kind of prepare your balance sheet and you know what you've got, the better. That will be attached to the document. So it just helps expedite things. And then it's also helpful for your lawyer to see what kind of assets and holdings you have, because that may inform what kind of provisions they would recommend be included in an agreement. So I think that that just helps move the process along, and you don't want to wait to do that.
Okay. Another tip is hire an attorney who knows how to be collaborative versus litigious, which only leads to higher attorney's fees. So from this tip, what I'm getting at, my question is, can prenups end up in court as well?
For sure. I mean, either you agree to the terms or you don't and you sign it or you don't. But after the marriage, there is the risk that a party will subsequently allege that the agreement is not valid for a myriad of reasons, and that could be litigated. But what I really meant by this tip is a lot of attorneys who draft premarital agreements are actually divorce attorneys, which makes good sense because we know what happens in a divorce, so we know what you might want to address in an agreement. But I always say to my clients, and I would say this is really my experience with the vast majority of the attorneys I work with as opposing counsel in premarital agreements, is this is a totally different animal. This isn't a divorce. This isn't adversarial. This is two people who love each other, who want to get married, who want to reach an agreement. And I really consciously try to take that approach. And maybe it's a bit of a mindset shift from working in the divorce world, although I'm probably a more collaborative divorce lawyer than many. That's sort of my take. But definitely, I think you want to make sure you have a lawyer who comes at it recognizing that this isn't a divorce. This is a premarital agreement, and it's different. And the process and the procedure and the negotiations need to be treated differently.
Okay. Now, also, it makes sense that you're saying you're more of a collaborative attorney versus litigious, because why else would you specialize so much in pre and post nuptials? I mean, that makes sense.
Yep. That's
okay.
True.
So back to my question, though, if somebody goes to court and they have a prenup, don't they have a better chance? Isn't it still better than not having one?
Oh, absolutely. The burden to prove to a court that an agreement is not valid and enforceable is quite high. And in my experience, Illinois courts do enforce premarital agreements, especially ones that are drafted correctly. But, you know, can I tell any client that there is zero risk? No.
It's
litigation. There's always a risk. But, you know, Routinely enforced.
Okay. Last tip you give is be sure to refer to your agreement after you sign it and make sure you follow through on any obligations. What does that mean?
Well, so most premarital agreements address what happens in the event of a divorce. Many also actually address what would happen in the event of the death of one party or the other. But there are also sometimes terms in the agreement, things that you need to do during your marriage or you need to be aware of during your marriage. So there might be directives about maintaining life insurance or how you might maintain a specific account, and you need to follow your agreement and make sure you do it. So, you know, my goal for my clients is not that it's like on the top of their desk and they're looking at it every day, but I do think you need to, if you signed a document, you need to know what it says and you need to make sure you follow it. So there's a balance between, you know, being tied to it on a daily basis, which nobody should be, but also you can't just throw it in a drawer and pretend it doesn't exist. You do need to look at it and make sure you're in compliance.
You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff. I'm your host and my guest, Amanda Klayman, a senior partner with Katz & Stefani, an Illinois divorce law firm based in Chicago, and also they have offices in Bannockburn. And Amanda, I want to ask you though, you also are licensed to practice in Massachusetts and Arizona as well as Illinois, correct?
Correct.
So if anybody's listening in Arizona, Massachusetts, or Illinois, you can use Amanda to draft your prenup. I want to get another area, and that's postnuptial agreements. And the reason I bring this up is because I know somebody who just got one. And this woman and her husband were like sort of deciding, trying to figure out what they're doing, and they might want to get divorced, but they're trying to work it out. So I believe they did a really smart thing in getting a postnup, meaning that their divorce, they can leave whenever they want because they now have a deal. So tell me, are you a fan of postnups?
In certain circumstances, yes. I would say the times that I would use a premarital agreement are probably broader and more often than a postnuptial agreement, but there are definitely times and circumstances where a postnuptial agreement makes sense. I won't get into all the details, but the enforceability and the requirements are a little bit more nuanced than for a premarital agreement, so you certainly need to talk to your lawyer about it. But there are a variety of different kinds of postmarital agreements or postnuptial agreements. But yeah, in certain circumstances, I think they're absolutely great. Exactly what you're talking about. A couple who's maybe having some struggles and wants to work on their marriage, but there's some financial issues. You could put some financial issues to bed and then really try to work on your marriage. Sometimes people have premarital agreements that they want to adjust vis-a-vis an amendment or also it's kind of like a postnuptial agreement. So there's certain maybe more narrow times that a postnuptial agreement might make sense, but yeah, for sure.
And see, what I love about all of this is that if you decide to get divorced, there's no pressure. So you're really going to stay in the marriage for the right reason or leave for the right reason. You're not going to not leave because you're too scared financially, because you know exactly what you're getting if you leave.
Right.
It's like perfect. Well, yeah. I think it makes marriages better.
Yeah, it really can, for sure. And especially if the process leading up to it is healthy and people feel like they signed a fair agreement and they understand it. Absolutely, it can help your marriage.
Before I sign off, I really want to ask you, Amanda, why did you get into divorce law? Like, what's your passion for what you do?
So my passion for being a lawyer really comes from my uncle. He was one of my favorite people. He was a really talented lawyer. And just all through my childhood, I would go to court and watch him or, you know, hear stories from him. And he was just so passionate about his job. He really loved the intellectual aspect of it. And he really loved helping people. he was a criminal defense attorney, but he definitely helped people. He felt like he helped people in tough spots in their lives. And I think I feel the same for myself. I know people think of divorce lawyers as sort of untoward or something, but to me, it's, you know, people who are in a really bad spot. And if I can help them at their lowest, and, you know, you can't always make it perfect, but you can be there for them. You can advocate for them. You can get them the best deal possible. I really do think that that is a form of helping and of service. And I'm passionate about doing that.
And tell me how long you've been with Katz and Stefani and what you think of your firm.
I have been with Katz and Stefani since its inception. And I mean, I have nothing but great things to say about the firm. I mean, first and foremost, everyone is really talented attorney. We're all good friends. We really care about each other. And, you know, second is everyone has a really strong moral and ethical code. That doesn't mean we're not advocates. That doesn't mean we don't fight for our clients, but there is places that people don't go and things that we don't do, that are unethical. And I would only work with people that, you know, have that code and believe in that. So that to me is the most important. And we're really a team. It's not like everyone's their own island. We always are helping each other out. We're always, you know, sending questions, noodling ideas around. So I think if you hire us, you get the skills of the people on your team, but you really get the skills of the whole firm.
I happen to think Katz and Stefani is a class act. And for my listeners, they have been a Divorce Girl Smiling partner, I want to say like 4 years now. I have known Dan Stefani for like 20 some years. Our kids went to school together. I would see him at my gym all the time when I used to belong there. And he is just a wonderful person, really warm and caring. But that doesn't mean he's not good in court and litigation. I mean, it's amazing to me because he's really good at what he does, but he's such a nice person. Like, he's really sweet. And you know, I've gotten to know, I would say, almost all of the attorneys at Katz and Stefani through your holiday parties. And I've taken a couple of your attorneys to networking events and really have such a wonderful opinion of everyone I've met there so far. So
thank you. I feel the same way.
You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast. I'm Jackie Pilisoff, your host. If you want to learn more about Amanda Clayman or you want to work with her, you can reach her at katzstefani.com or you can read her articles on Divorce Girl Smiling. Amanda, thank you so much for joining me. You were so helpful and so wonderful, and I'm so happy that you did.
Thank you so much, Jackie. I really loved joining you, and I loved our conversation.
Thanks for joining me, everyone. If you want to learn more, visit divorcegirlsmiling.com.